Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So if you're a Lightning fan, Steve Versnick, I don't know, are you thrilled? I suppose you're thrilled that there is a Game 7.
Absolutely.
That the Lightning won in dramatic fashion in overtime, Braden Point with the game winner. They take it 4-3, and so they got a chance, right? They're going back to Toronto where they have to win there. You're finally going to have to win two in a row to win a series. Or are you just like... can't believe this team allowed two goals in 26 seconds at the end of the second period, and they've been basically outplayed by Toronto in this series.
Can you agree with kind of both? I don't know if Toronto's outplayed them. I think the Lightning has gift wrapped a lot of opportunities for them, and Toronto has cashed in.
And all right,
and I'm not saying the Lightning have outplayed Toronto, but I think the series has been pretty even. Now, it's been lopsided at times.
Yeah.
I mean, game one, the Lightning played their worst game, and, mm-hmm. and the Leafs probably played their best. Game four, the Lightning played their best game. The Leafs probably played their worst. And then you've had ebbs and flows. I mean, game five was, and game six were the only two that were really close throughout the whole contest, which is, you know, as they're kind of getting to know each other and figure each other out and make adjustments, the games are getting closer. A lot less penalties called in Game 6, although the penalties were crucial,
yeah.
particularly in the third period, as the Maple Leafs end up giving up a 5-on-3 for a minute 45. I don't know what Kerfoot was thinking.
With the high stick?
On the play. Well, so he's got a shot shorthanded to go down the ice. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a one-goal lead in the third period, and you're shorthanded.
Right.
So... You got the shot down there. Hedman kind of takes it from you. You can't keep pursuing it that intensely. You've got to make sure defensively you're fine. And he's going at it like they're down a goal trying to score. And he gets his stick up and hits Hedman in the face. And now it's a 5-on-3. When you're up one goal in the third, you cannot give up a 5-on-3 in that situation.
No, that was what allowed this whole thing to happen, obviously. And the Lightning cashed in. There was a question in my mind when I saw that play whether Hedman sort of like embellished just a bit. But I guess he did get hit in the face, and that's really all that matters, right? He's got a stick in the face.
I mean, when you look at a slow-mo, you could sit there and say to him, have you ever been hit in the face?
No, and nor do I want to be.
I mean,
I was telling somebody, if a stick hit me in the face, you'd see me in about 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, that's a sensitive area of your body.
Oh, and you're going to try to move your head to avoid it.
And you're trying to do something else, and you get hit. You're going to flinch like that. I mean,
yeah.
And speaking of embellishment, that call on Nick Paul was crap.
That was terrible. Yeah.
The stick was between his legs. What do you think he's going to do?
If he could have kept his balance, I think he would have tried. I think, and remember, they're on ice on skates, too. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Of course he fell down. How do you have both a tripping penalty, meaning that you tripped the guy, and then an embellished penalty, meaning that he really shouldn't have fallen down. Like, what?
I hate that in hockey. Look, I'm all for embellishment penalties. If a guy's embellishing trying to get a call, by all means call it. But if there's a penalty on the play, there should be no such thing as embellishment.
Especially
there was
a
penalty.
It was a trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. If you weren't tripped and tried to fake trip, you know, fall down, trying to get a call and looking at the official, then call embellishment.
Right, right.
But I don't get this. There's a penalty, but... you fell too hard or something, so now we're going to even it up and not penalize the guy who committed the penalty. I'm like, what? That's crap. But it's not just this game. I mean, that's the rule in hockey, and I don't get it. I don't understand that rule.
Yeah. Well, this was one of those games where I thought that Andrei Vasilevskiy was tremendous. They could have lost in many different ways at many different times.
Mm-hmm.
He kept them in it, including in overtime. You know, he was their best player, I thought, from start to finish. And they've got a chance. I mean, they're on the road. They're going to have to win two in a row. They haven't done that yet in the series. And
but nobody has.
No one has, right. Somebody's going to have to do it to advance.
Well, no, Toronto doesn't have to do it to advance.
Oh, that's right. They won't have to. You're right, because they have game seven. They got the home ice. But there's pressure on Toronto because of their history, because of the fact that they haven't won a series in so long.
This core group is now 0-9 in elimination game where they could have eliminated their opponent.
Ouch.
Meanwhile, the Lightning, which won't pertain to game seven, have now won 17 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
Where they lost a game in the same postseason as before. So it's not carrying over from the Columbus loss.
Yeah.
That matches the 62-66 Boston Celtics for the best record in the history of MLB, NHL, and NBA.
Was it like Bill Russell on that team?
Yeah. I mean, that's when they're winning, what, 10 straight championships or whatever?
10 or 11.
It was
10
out of
11,
12, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's they've matched the best record all time now. In U.S. major sports, football doesn't count because you don't have series, but in hockey, basketball, and baseball, 17 straight games that you win the next game after you lose in the same postseason. That's incredible. And it held tonight. It didn't look like it at the end of the second, and we could talk about giving up two goals in 26 seconds.
Terrible.
I think Andre Vasilevskiy would probably like that first one back. That he, on Tavares, he stopped, but then it ricocheted up, and he tried to glove it down, and it went over his glove into the net.
That's fair, but you can't then, with 13 or 12 or whatever seconds was left, give up another one.
Well, no,
you know?
And that was just really poor defense. There were several plays throughout that the Lightning, and John Cooper's talked about this. You know, you're up 2-0. You don't need to score any more goals. Just keep them out of the net. But they got greedy at times.
Yeah, they've not been that team this playoff series. I know, mm-hmm. You know, back in the day when they were rolling in the last maybe two Stanley Cups, a 2-0 lead seemed insurmountable. You know, it just did. And they played that, you know, made teams go 200 feet and they stood them up at the blue line and all that stuff. They haven't been that team in this series. They just... You know, this is what I mean by, if not outplayed, I don't know what you call it, but like when you have two games in a row where you're up 2-0 and things are really going your way, to find yourselves down in a dogfight, scrapping to just tie the game, that's just not who they've been in these last two Stanley Cup pursuits. I don't know what it is.
The mental mistakes are so uncharacteristic in this series. And I don't know if it's they're tired mentally from all the hockey from the last 2.5 years. I don't know if it's the speed of Toronto. It's forcing them to speed up their mental game, causing them to make mistakes because everything's happening quicker than it does in the regular season, and that's a very fast team on the other side.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I don't know why, but I mean, you know, there were times – You know, we talked about in Game 5 when McDonough's trying to force the puck up through three of his teammates and several Maple Leafs, and that ends up being the game-winning goal they give up. There was another play tonight where he pinched in unnecessarily, and all of a sudden it's a 2-on-1 the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Lightning stopped it, but it's, you know, it's Ryan. You didn't need to do that in that play. And Ryan's had a great series, don't get me wrong. But there's some plays you're scratching your head going, that's not like you.
Yeah.
Particularly when you had a lead. At the time.
Yeah, well, that's been the most disturbing thing is that they've had control of games. I mean control of them. Not just on the scoreboard, but just where we're just playing the right way, and then suddenly they're in this dogfight, and then they're trailing and scrapping to try to get back in at the tie. I give them credit. I mean, you know, the 5-on-3 can't happen if you're Toronto. Toronto's made some mistakes, too, let's be honest. But
oh, absolutely. The Lightning aren't alone in that in this series.
No. They've made plenty of their own. And listen, no matter what, the goal by Braden Point was epic. I mean, he has come up with some big damn goals in the last 2 years, three years now.
He's now tied with Marty St. Louis for the franchise record, three game-winning overtime goals.
That's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you need the big one in overtime, and that just did sneak through to get in there. But, man, the building, you were there. Have you heard it louder than that? Was it more electric than that?
Game five of Montreal last year was louder, but
okay,
that's when you actually won the cup.
Yeah.
That right. one should be louder.
Yeah, right.
It's but open, I don't know if it's been much louder than that. I mean, it was rocking.
Yeah.
And it was bleak. At the end of the second, it was that building was quiet.
Mm-hmm. And it should have been. I mean, they were stunned. I was stunned. I'm watching this with a bunch of people just like down the street, a bunch of neighbors, man. And we just kind of looked at each other. It's like, how in the hell? And I kept saying right at the end of the period, you know, there's nothing more demoralizing, by the way, mm-hmm. than to give up a goal right before the period ends. When you're in the final 30 seconds, final minute, anything
like
that.
I can think of something more demoralizing. Giving up two in the final minute.
And that's what I... So we're watching this game, and I go, okay, there's 30 seconds. I go, don't give up a late goal. Just don't give up the late goal because it's 2-1. They give up the goal, and I go, son of a gun, look at that. They did it. And then there's just a few seconds left. I go, okay, now don't compound it. But oh, my God, they give up another one. Like, it was that fast. It was like, I haven't seen a team do that. You know, in the end of a period in the span of 26 seconds like that, that was just, that's usually cataclysmic. I mean, that you usually don't come back from that. And more than half of the third period, they hadn't come back from that. But they stuck with it. Obviously they tied it up. And then again, Vasi, I thought, made some great saves, down the stretch and in overtime and Braden Point wins it. So, here we are. You know, the Lightning have life, and Toronto has pressure and expectation and all the things that comes with playing a game seven. But you know what? This is why they got home ice.
Mm-hmm.
They were the better team throughout the regular season, and you can sit there and you can, you know, say, well, all they have to do is make the playoffs, and all they have to, you know, it really doesn't matter as long as you get it. You know what? Now it matters. Now in the game seven, suddenly it matters where it is, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a harder task to go into Toronto than if you were playing in front of your home fans. I don't know that they come back in this game if that game, you know, was in Toronto on Thursday. I don't know that they come back from that. So they're going to have to, you know, the one thing they've done, I'll give them this much. The last two games, they have come out flying. They have come out fast. They have come out and outplayed, I thought, Toronto in the first period of both those games. Mm-hmm. They have to do that again because in the previous games that they lost, they were flat. They were outskated. They did not have a good start to those games. But they've been ahead now 2-0 in the last two games, mm-hmm. and struggled their butts off to win one of them. And to me, I don't. They just really haven't hit their stride. The one thing I'll say, this game, and I don't know that the officials missed a lot of calls. But you'd have to agree with me. This game was not officiated like all the others. They let a lot of stuff go, I think. And I can't remember a specific egregious penalty they mm-hmm. missed necessarily. But it seemed to me like, you know, there was nonstop action. There was barely a commercial break, you know.
I don't think the officials wanted to call penalties tonight.
Exactly.
No.
And to the credit of the players, they were not looking to go to the box either. You didn't mm-hmm. see the unnecessary stick penalties. You didn't see too many men on the ice.
There was nothing going on post-whistle in this game. Nothing.
No, nobody shoved anyone near the net. No
you know one. Their coaches had told them, you are not going to the box.
That's correct. That's
you
know, correct.
You could tell that was drilled into them in the two days
both,
in between.
Both teams, yes.
That mm-hmm. we're not, you're don't touch them. You
right.
know? There was a little bit, you know, okay, you're right in front of the net. Let me push you over here a little bit. But it wasn't the shoves. It wasn't the scrums.
No eye washing and all that.
There was none of that in this game. It was pure go play hockey, and you could tell it was drilled in. We're not taking those after whistle penalties.
And what don't cost Toronto were the two sticks. I mean, the high stick was what mm-hmm. you know, careless, over aggressive, as you pointed out. That's what gave them the 5-on-3, and the Lightning didn't do that. They didn't have those penalties. They didn't have too many men on the ice, all that stupid
stuff.
They only
gave up one power play. I mean, Nick Paul mm-hmm. went off with Hall, so I mean, it was the tripping or interference and embellishment. So that was a 4-on-4. Only the Cal Foot hooking, which he had a stick between the legs and tripped the guy. I mean, it was a penalty.
Yeah.
That was the only power play they gave up. So,
right. It's been a hell of a series, and I And I do believe that if there's something to me about this series, and I think Toronto's really, really good. Obviously, they got elite players in Austin Matthews and others. But I do think that if they get out of this, really whoever gets out of this, but if the Lightning were to survive this, something tells me that they'll be able to exhale just a bit. Something tells me that, you know, you got to get going, right? You have to win one series before you can think about winning two, much less three, much less a Stanley Cup. I think they would take a breath and get into some kind of rhythm, get into some kind of gear, understand a little bit better how, you know, how to play again.
Potentially, but your next opponent is most likely the President's Cup trophy winning Florida Panthers.
Florida Panthers. And then that,
who have come back from a 3-goal deficit in game five.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, I mean, you say that, but you can make an argument. You can make an argument that between Florida, Toronto, and Tampa, that's the three best teams in the Eastern Conference.
Right now, and it's supposed to get harder as you advance. Mm-hmm.
Carolina had more points, and so did the Rangers. But you could make that argument. Maybe Carolina's in there, but three of the four best teams in the Eastern Conference are going to play each other, or two of them are going to get knocked out before you get to the conference finals between each other. Now, I'm assuming Florida advances past Washington. They're up 3-2. Game six will be tonight. Yep. If necessary, game seven on Sunday.
Yeah, they're in good shape. Yeah.
But, well, good shape, except so we had four game sixes on Thursday night. Three of them are going to game sevens.
Yeah,
only the
true.
Blues advance past the Wild. We could end up with six game sevens in the first round of the NHL.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
We have three of them on Saturday. We have Boston, Carolina at 4:30. The Lightning Maple Leafs will be a 7 o'clock start on Saturday. That just came out right before we started to record this podcast. And then Edmonton, L.A. will be at 10 o'clock Saturday night. And then Sunday, we could have three more, depending on the games tonight. You've got Pittsburgh and New York. Pittsburgh's up 3-2. You've got Calgary, Dallas. Florida, Washington's the other one. So those are your three series. You could have six game sevens this weekend in
the NHL.
That's
insane.
We'll see how tonight goes, but
there's nothing better. I mean, there's nothing better than a game seven in any sports, but especially NHL. And they're all going to put it on the line. I mean, you're not going to hold anything back, and predominantly they're all healthy. So, you know, that's a good thing too. Look, this is when your experience should pay off. They've been in this position before. They've come through. They've won two Stanley Cups. They've won back-to-back. There is pressure on Toronto. Unquestionably, there's pressure. There's expectation you're going to win in that building. It should be your advantage, but it can also get very nervous if the Lightning can get on top like they did the last game and this time hold it. But, man, I still can't believe they won that game. I'm telling you, when you make those mistakes and they end up in the back of your net like that at the end of a second period, it just didn't feel like it was ever going to be their night. And somehow they managed to overcome that and force a game seven. So can't wait really for Saturday. It's going to be epic. Whatever happens one way or the other.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Bucks got a look at their schedule for 2022. And let me say this. It's been acknowledged by the NFL that when Tom Brady decided to unretire, to come back, they had to go back in and try to even out some of the NFC games because there's so many great matchups from a quarterback standpoint point with the Bucks, but they did not. It's as if the Tampa Bay Bucks informed the league that Brady is back, and they said, "Oh, really? Watch this. Would you look at the first four games the Bucks are playing in this season? I'm telling you, you could have thrown them out any way you wanted to. You could have taken these 17 games, put them in a hat, and pulled them out. You couldn't have pulled them out much worse than this, in my opinion." It is a gauntlet of games. First of all, they start on the road the first 2 weeks. Never a good thing in the NFL to have two road games. I don't mind, you know, if you're a team that has to start a season on the road, sometimes that's good. Because if you get a win, you come home, you got house money. But The first game is like last year's first game. They played the Dallas Cowboys, only this time it's in Dallas. Dallas barely lost. I mean, the Bucs needed a last-second field goal to win that game on the NFL's opener on a Thursday night a year ago in Tampa. Okay, I think the Cowboys are still an elite team. I know they've lost some pieces. I know that Mike McCarthy's under fire. I know that they haven't won a playoff game in so many years, all that stuff. But to start the season at Jerry World.
I really believe that the Cowboys are going to win the opener.
Yeah, this is our year. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a building that's on fire. And they're coming for Tom Brady. They're coming for the Bucs. They're mad they got beat in what was really one of their better games that they played a year ago. And so, okay. And, oh, by the way, it's Sunday Night Football. Of course, there are five. For the third straight year, the Bucs have their maximum of five nationally televised primetime games to start the season, and maybe more, depending on what happens in the flex week in week 18. So you start at Dallas, and then if that weren't enough, now you're going to New Orleans, a team that has beaten Brady four straight times in the regular season. Tough place to play. Oh, by the way, it's the Saints' home opener. Okay, so you had the home opener, the season opener in Dallas. You have the Saints home opener in New Orleans. You don't think they're coming for Tom Brady, and Tom Brady wants them too. They got him in the playoffs when he went on to the Super Bowl, but hasn't beaten them in the regular season. That game is I think, at 4:25 or so.
That's a 1 o'clock. That's a 1 o'clock.
Or is that a 1 o'clock Fox game? Okay. All right, so you're like, all right, well, two on the road, that's tough, man. But we got the home opener. Oh, yeah. Guess what? It's the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Are you kidding me? And I mean, I know that the Packers have lost some pieces, and I know that the Bucs, you know, beat them, what, twice in the year. They won the Super Bowl and all of that. But Rodgers against Brady, delicious matchup, right? No doubt about it. And so you have that game. And then to be followed by Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. At night that's another Sunday night game, I believe.
That's correct.
So now, I mean, listen, lesser quarterbacks would go 0-4 with that. I was just thinking, like, what if Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask had been the guys after all? They would be almost like relieved to win one out of those four. I'm serious when I tell you this. If they come out of this 2-2, then everything's okay. You're still in it. This is a gauntlet of teams, assuming that everybody is healthy when you play them. I can't remember a much more difficult start than what they're going to face with these four teams, because basically what you have is the three division champions you play, plus a team that has owned you mm-hmm. in the regular season and has swept you the last 2 years with Tom Brady, okay? I just don't know that it could have fallen much harder than it did for them for the first 4 weeks.
That is a tough gauntlet. Two Sunday night games, the two road game. I mean, maybe if you replace the Rams or the Bengals with the Saints, maybe it's tougher. But I mean,
that's
beyond
true.
That, although those are home games.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, those are probably your two toughest road games.
I mean, you got to go to San Francisco. You got to go to the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, you're going to San
Francisco. That's the other thing.
Those are the other tough road games. Those are late in the season.
Right.
You know, the Steelers, you know,
Rams at home.
I don't know
who
their quarterback are, but yeah,
yeah.
I mean, their schedule this year, which we knew going in, was tough.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the matchups are crazy. I mean, you've got tremendous quarterbacks, tremendous teams on this schedule. You know, the quarterback matchups are insane. They did, and here's the thing: they've got a lot of national TV games. We know that they've got to go to Germany. In November, mm-hmm. For the first time, the NFL is playing three games on Christmas Day. The Bucs have the late one. The Bucs have the night one. They're at Arizona. It's the first time the Bucs have ever played on Christmas Day. I'm thrilled. Listen, I'm not going to complain. I get to go watch a football game. Who cares about what I have to do? But it's another late game. It's the West Coast. You're getting in the next morning at about 6 a.m., something like that, Eastern time after the game, flying straight back. It's more travel when you've got a trip to Germany. You got another trip to San Francisco later in the year in December. Yeah, Christmas night, you're going to have the Buccaneers. And it's great for fans as they prepare their holidays and eat their meals and turn on the TV and watch Tom Brady. But that's a tough game. And you know, Kyler Murray and those guys are very good. So, you know, five prime time, we're not surprised, including a Thursday night game on Amazon. But it is a daunting start to the schedule. Now, if you can survive that, if you can survive the first four, you know, there is a stretch there where you get like five. I think you get like five out of seven, including those five out of seven at home.
Yeah, starting with Green Bay, you get five out of seven at home,
which
so until you go to Germany, which technically is a home game too. But
true is it just happens to be over there.
Five out of seven at Ray J from September 25th to November 6th.
Yeah, but you know, before you get to the Rams, you're playing Lamar Jackson. You're like, the quarterbacks on this schedule are just next level. So you come back, you have the bye week, and then you're going to Cleveland, and you got to play Deshaun Watson. Then you're hosting the Saints on Monday Night Football, so another nationally televised game against a team that has owned you. Then all the way to the West Coast with San Francisco. Then you're hosting the AFC champion Bengals before going out to Arizona on Christmas night, and you wind up with the two division games at the end of the season, which most teams do, the Panthers and the Falcons. A lot of these division games are spread out, very much spread out this season, the six of them. So that's going to be interesting too. Look, it was always going to be a tough schedule, but the way it fell, Dallas, the Saints, the best other team in the NFC, Green Bay and Kansas City. Wow. I mean, good news is Green Bay and Kansas City are at home. Bad news is you got to play them back to back. But like I said, if they survive that, then you could maybe take a breath with the Falcons, you know, with the Steelers. Who knows what will be their situation, who will be quarterbacking then, the Panthers. So you got a little bit of rebounding room here. I would just never bet against Tom Brady. I don't think he's lost two in a row to start a season in his career. And I don't know that he's going to start now, but it was very enlightening, to say the least, to see how these games, how they fell, how they spread out. And for entertainment purposes, though, if you're a football fan, you know, and I can see what happened. I mean, when Brady comes back, they go, wait a minute, we got Brady and Prescott. We got Brady and Rodgers. We got Brady and Mahomes. We've got Brady and Lamar Jackson. We got Brady and Matthew Stafford in a rematch against the Rams.
Brady and Kyler Murray's on Sunday Night Football.
Brady and Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brady and Kyler Murray at Christmas. Like, how do you not have them on TV as much as possible? And they do. And one of those games, even the last one against the Falcons, depending on what it means, it's sort of a TBA. It could be flexed. And you
could be moved
up
to Saturday. Yeah, it could be Saturday or Sunday that weekend.
Right, and it could be national
TV.
The NFL
Network will get some games that Saturday.
Yeah, it could be national TV as well. So, yeah, no no lack of drama and exposure, but, man, the schedule makers are coming for TB12. They are maximizing, especially early in the season, his national TV appearance. And, you know, if it gets to be too much, he just grabs the mic and goes up and tells Greg Olsen to move over.
After seeing the schedule, does he go, maybe I'll go broadcast?
Yeah. Maybe you plan on doing it now. I mean, Kevin Burkhardt's like, you know, we got your seat ready. We'll just knock Greg Olsen out anytime you. By the way, the game, the Super Bowl, is on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Well, he'll be part of the coverage if he's not playing in the game.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And if he's playing in the game, he'll be all they
he'll
cover.
He'll be part of the coverage, too, yeah. Call his own game. But, yeah, so it's always fun. You know, I mean, the thing about the schedule is you can kind of look at it, and at least me, and I can say, okay, here's how my life is gonna fall. Here's where I'm gonna be on this date, and you know, people can plan accordingly too if they want to go on these road trips or buy tickets and, you know, see them play. Great home schedule, man. I mean, if you can see Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and the Rams and Matthew Stafford
and Joe Burrow
in the same year at Raymond James, man, what else? What else do you want? Those, you know, there's some gold jackets in there for sure. and some Super Bowl champions as well, and some MVPs. I mean, it is a star-studded last season. It makes me wonder, too, like, if things don't get, you know, Brady came back in many ways because, one, he can still play. He can absolutely ball. He came up, you know, 5,316 yards and 43 touchdowns, all of that. But he also had unfinished business. He just did not like the way it ended with the Rams, and who would? He brought them back down 28-3, and they lose it at the end. And probably felt like, look, if we win that game, we're hosting San Francisco for the championship. We would have gone back to Super Bowl, whatever. Only one team is happy. But, man, you look at the schedule and you go, what if Brady, you know, God forbid, doesn't make the playoffs or wins nine games? Like, is that going to motivate him to come back and say, I'm not letting it end this way? In other words, he really kind of had, even though he didn't make it to a Super Bowl, he had a better ending last year. You know, he you know, no shame in winning 29 games in 2 years, a Super Bowl, and then also leading the league in passing. Like, that's going out on top. There's a chance here. I don't know how realistic it is, but, I mean, there's a chance here that they don't make the postseason. And with an outlier that maybe they don't even have, you know, a winning season or maybe a 9-win season. Like, you just don't know. So he's definitely rolled the dice. He's definitely, you know, going to face his biggest challenge at age 45, which he turns in August. It's going to take every bit of every player on that roster, and probably then some, depending on how injuries go, to try to pull this off and have a good year and win the NFC South again and get back into these playoffs and hopefully have a home game or two and get back to the point that they were at when they beat the Rams. The Rams game is late enough in the year that it could have some impact on the NFC, you know, standings as far as the playoffs go. But, man, what a start to the year. Cowboys, Saints, Packers, Chiefs. I mean, holy moly, that is really something. So always fun to see the schedule drop and see what's going on with other teams as well. All right, meanwhile, the Rays had a day off. They begin their series against the Toronto Blue Jays, a big one. I actually will be covering the Rays on Sunday. And then tomorrow night we have Game 7, of course, the deciding game in the big Toronto-Tampa Bay series. I can't imagine how that's going to go, but whoever wins this series is going to have earned it because it's been dramatic on both sides, to say the very least. So hope you enjoyed the podcast. Have a great weekend. For Steve Bursick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.